The scriptures today is Psalms 138 and 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11. Of David, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down towards your holy temple and will praise your name. For you, your unfailing love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame. When I called you, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me. May all of the kings of the earth praise you, Lord, when they hear what you have decreed. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly. Though lofty, he sees them from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hands against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you saved me. The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. And 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also, as one too abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed.
Our scripture reading today is from Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. And the gospel writer writes, "One day, as he was preaching on the shore of the lake, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats standing at the water's edge while the fishermen washed their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push out a little into the water so that he could sit in the boat and speak to the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Now, go back out where it's deeper and let down your nets, and you will catch a lot of fish.' 'Sir,' Simon replied, 'we worked hard all last night and we didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, we'll try again.' And at this time, their nets were so full they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and he said, 'Oh, sir, please leave us. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you.' For he was awestruck by the size of their catch, as were the others with him, and his partners too, James and John and the sons of Zebedee. Jesus replied, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for the souls of men and women.'" And as soon as they landed, they left everything and they went with Jesus. Let us pray. Dear God, come into our lives again and again to cast out our fear. Invite us to live lives of meaning and purpose and call us to follow you. Give us the strength of character to step out in faith, believe in the good news, and follow you faithfully. In Jesus' name I say, amen. Well, when we were growing up, an exchange I often had with my mother went something like this. Carol, would you like to set the table? No, not really. Do it anyway. Okay. As I got older, it became a standing joke between us, and I never passed up the opportunity to say no, and my mother never batted an eye and always said, do it anyway. It wasn't that I lacked the skill, and it wasn't that I couldn't set the table. It was just a way of exerting a little control and then being reminded that we all have been called to do a little work each day in our lives. How often have you said, nope, not me. Why would you ask me to do this? I'm not skilled enough or pretty enough, or I don't sing well enough, or, well, you fill in the blank. If you have ever said or thought something like this, then you're in good company. Because God got that response a lot of times. Jonah literally tried to run away, and he ended up being swallowed by a whale and deposited on the beach in Nineveh, right where God told him to go to begin with. And Saul did not even believe. He persecuted Christians and eventually, through a chance encounter, realized his error and became the Apostle Paul, who would become one of the greatest church planners. And in his own words, John the Baptist said, I am not worthy. Jeremiah said, I'm too young. I cannot speak well. He became a great prophet. Well, don't you feel like you're in good company now that you hear that? It appears that we as humans always underestimate our abilities to teach and share and model the Word of God. And yet, Jesus took human form. He showed us how to do this. Why do we underestimate ourselves? Our success in doing the work that God has set out for us has less to do with our worthiness and much more to do with our faithfulness to the tasks or the tasks that we've been asked to do. I taught for 25 years in higher education. You know, I never penalized a student who faithfully tried to complete their assignments. If they kept up and they tried, it seemed to me worth of something. Maybe you faltered once in the semester and turned in a late assignment. I didn't find that particularly alarming as long as you stepped back into the routine and picked up the pace again. You see, because we're human, we falter once in a while. We're students every day. We try to learn, we try to experience, we make mistakes, we try again to perfect, to pave our future with the skills that we master and continue to learn. And you know, in all that, God is a very benevolent teacher, cheering us on, waiting for us to pick it up and work on it again. In the scripture from Luke, we realize that few accept their call to action immediately. Isaiah accepted God's call, but placed a caveat on the acceptance, just like Simon Peter did, saying, but I'm a sinner. Well, both were accepted to do God's work, so apparently being sinless is not a requirement for doing the work of God. For if it were, God would have very few, maybe no one, to call. Faithfully accepting the task you're called to do comes with grace that will enable you, that will empower you to carry out the duties you've been asked to accomplish. As I was writing this, of course, it reminded me of the saying I've read a number of times. God never calls us to more than we can handle. But honestly, I wish God had a little less faith in my abilities. In this scripture today, Simon Peter and his crew have been out fishing all night. They're tired. They haven't finished cleaning up after the long night. They didn't get any doggone fish in their boats. They're disappointed. They're tired. And Jesus shows up and asks Simon Peter to take his boat out again. Because Jesus wants to be a little free of the crowd. He doesn't want them all pressing in around him all the time. And Simon Peter does that. His boat's dirty, it's not clean, but he does what Jesus asks him to do. Then Jesus asks Simon Peter to return his nets to the sea. Okay, he's tired, he's crabby, his boat's not clean. He's probably hungry. He's disappointed. I'm sure he had a cheery little pip, pip, let's go do this. I'd love to do this for Jesus. Probably a little bit like my no, not really. I have to imagine Simon Peter did a little bit of, at least in his head, what? You want me to do what? But he did it. He must have believed some of the stories he had heard about Jesus. And so they put out to sea. And Simon Peter and his team's subsequent fishing success has less to do with special nets or fishing skill, but it has everything to do with his faith. Faith in Jesus. He listened and he followed. And the fishing bounty he received was beyond his imagination. But then Jesus pushes it one more step and says, leave everything and follow me. Now, Simon Peter had the equivalent of a $100,000 lottery ticket in that boat. That boat was full of fish. He could sell that fish and he would be a wealthy man. And Jesus is asking him to walk away from that $100,000 lottery ticket. Could you do that without a question mark? I couldn't. I got a $100,000 ticket and you want me to lay it down on the kitchen table, walk out the door and go do whatever it is you're doing? And I don't even know what that is for sure. They did. They did. Hard to believe. I have a hard time leaving a pretty shell on the seaside. Leaving fish, magnificent catch of fish, and my friends, and walking away with Jesus. Wow. And in 1 Corinthians, we hear the Apostle Paul providing directions again to the citizens of Corinth. He's still working on this church that's on this trading crossroads that's very diverse. He's trying to get them all to kind of row together in the ship. And Paul helps them understand that they can transform people's lives every day if you treat people and you talk to them and you assist them and you model for them and you encourage them. The Reverend Jennifer B. Brooks writes, Jesus' appearance to the apostles and to those who followed his teachings had consequences for their lives. His coming fulfilled the divine promise, and his presence changed the state of things for those who accepted his invitation to receive the good news. And so the message for today's church is the same as it was for the fishermen and for the church in Corinth. Believe in the good news of Jesus Christ and you watch what happens. It's going to be great change. And I might add one caveat. Not only believe in the good news, but put it into action. It isn't our actions that get us to where we need to go in eternity. It is our faith that allows us to take those actions. But the two are close cousins. Have a faith-filled approach. The success that we will experience if we step faithfully into the room because of our call, because of our it's not because of our worthiness, it's not because we eat the right foods, it's not because we did the right things, it's because we had the faith to step into the world with the good news informing us every step of the way, giving us the courage, undergirding us, wrapping us in its goodness. A little equation came to mind. Our faith and belief in the good news plus one little task gives us the understanding of the power of our faith. With our acceptance of God, God will liberally pour on us grace so that we can survive our failures, because God knows we won't get everything right. And remember, when I say your call, I don't always mean your call alone, that you must answer and that you must shoulder the burden altogether. Look around. You are in a community that believes in the good news, that will pray for you, that will undergird you, that will help. We, like the disciples, are a community called. Jesus knew the call that he would give to the disciples, and Jesus gives us a similar call to be accepting, to work together, each in our own time, to undergird and prayerfully support one another in all the right places and times to garner good exposure to the good news. Faith and belief in the good news of Jesus Christ, that he was born and crucified, dead and buried, and then resurrected by God, all to save us. If we but believe in this good news, if we accept his call to follow, to be faithful, to serve, to assist, to commit to being good Christian people who make each day better for some, if not all, then my friends, your faith has you headed to the promised land. Your faith will see you successful in providing a bright light to all who are around you. Your faith will successfully guarantee the continuance of love in this challenging and sometimes difficult world. Martin Luther King put this very succinctly. Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Okay, my friends, let's get going. Take that first step, do it, and the world will be a better place. Amen.